Boom shakalaka!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another episode of the Daily Double Up Podcast. I'm Jordan, sitting across from me is Mitch. You know what it is. We're your one-stop shop for all things daily fantasy football. Mitch, how you doing this week, buddy?
What's good, bro-tato chip?
Bro-tato chip. Dude, I love that the intro for you is changing every single week. You're keeping me on my toes over here.
I like to keep it fresh.
Yeah, you got to keep it funky. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Funky?
Dude, funky.
Okay.
Like Mecole Hardman last week.
Groovy.
Uh-huh.
Groovy, bro.
Uh-huh. Hey, what's up, y'all? We got a good episode for you guys this week, but we got a couple of pieces of business to take care of first. First things first, make sure you go follow us on Twitter at DoubleUpDFS. We got a bunch of good content over there. You can find the video of our week one water bet payout where Mitch got wet because he lost week one. Spoiler alert, he's going to be getting wet again because he lost week two. But that'll be coming up a little bit later, so don't go looking for it tonight. But you can go give us a follow over there and check out the content we do have up. Also, wherever you're listening to this podcast, on Apple, on Spotify, wherever else you happen to be listening, please go give us a like, review, and subscribe. We would greatly appreciate it, and we would love you forever for it.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Forever. Dude, I'm in a weird mood tonight. I don't know what the deal is.
I am too. I've been in a weird mood all day.
This is going to be an interesting podcast. All right, y'all. So the first thing we wanted to start with today was going to be a little news or noise segment. We've been through 2 weeks of the NFL season. We're rolling into week three. And there's some interesting storylines popping up across the NFL, Mitch. And I want to just fire some questions at you, kind of rapid fire style. Maybe we can sit down and talk about them for a little bit. But I want to get your opinion, your take on some of these things, because some of them are pretty spicy and pretty interesting. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, fire them at me.
All right, man. Are the Dolphins the worst football team in history?
100%.
100%. Like, no consideration for anybody else. This is by far, snap reaction, the worst football team you've ever seen.
I think that if the Cleveland Browns of a few years ago, where they went 0-16, played this team, they'd win 7 out of 10 games.
How about the 2008 Lions, the first team to go 0-16?
They're up there.
They're also pretty bad.
I still give the edge to the Dolphins. This team is absolutely atrocious.
Dude, they are so unbelievably bad. Like, as bad as we thought they were going to be, they have exceeded all expectations. They're giving up an insane amount of points a game. Everybody is making them look like a junior high football team. Dude, it's bad. I think if I'm remembering correctly, the 2008 Detroit Lions, even though they went 0-16, had a couple of losses that were like within a field goal, or like they almost squeaked one or two out here or there. I don't think Miami is going to sniff a win all year. I don't think they come even close.
No, I really don't think they do at all. Let's just look at some team statistics for the Miami Dolphins.
Hit me with it.
Okay. They're averaging 5 points a game.
That's not good.
They're five. Guys, they're five.
I think if you and I rolled out a squad of just random people that we picked up off the street, I think we could maybe score a field goal.
I'm confident we'd score a touchdown on them. Confident.
I'm not confident we'd score a touchdown. I don't think my athletic ability is good enough, but I'm sure we could get down the field far enough that like one of our idiot friends could punt a football through the field goal post.
No, I think our collective athleticism would be better than the collective athleticism of the Miami Dolphins defense.
It's possible. At the rate they're trying to get out of town, I mean, they legitimately might have to go pick up random people off the street.
Seriously. I mean, they're averaging 192 yards a game.
That's also not good.
160 through the air, 31 and a half on the ground.
Wait, Mitch, how many yards are in a football field?
That is 100.
That would be 100. So you're telling me they barely, not barely, I guess they almost eclipse a football field two times over the course of an entire game?
Not quite.
That's bad.
It's very bad. You look at all the major offensive statistics, and I'm going to get into it later when we go to our Stash or Trash segment. They are almost doubled or tripled in every single category by their opponents.
That's also not good.
On the course of the year. I mean, it's disgusting. Disgusting what's going on.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough down there in Miami. I apologize if you are a sports fan in general in Miami. Miami sports as a whole are not looking real good right now. The Dolphins are especially looking terrible. I don't know. At least you guys have like 5 first round picks over the course of the next 2 drafts, because I don't know what else you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is bad.
So this is news. We're not getting rid of this one in the noise category. The Dolphins are legitimately the worst team in the history of the NFL.
This is news.
I would agree.
News I don't want to read about, but it's news.
It is news. All right, number 2, Mitch, are Darren Waller or Mark Andrews or maybe both this year's fantasy George Kittle?
Mark Andrews is yes, Darren Waller no.
Wow, why the hatred for Darren Waller?
That's not hatred for Darren Waller.
It sounds like hatred.
It just is Mark Andrews putting up George Kittle numbers and Waller's not.
Does Darren Waller get the bump because he has a terrible quarterback throwing him the football?
No, well, first of all, he doesn't have a terrible quarterback throwing him the football.
That's debatable.
Okay. I would talk about like that. I would do that. The thing is Mark Andrews is just putting up George Kittle numbers, and Darren Waller's not. Not that Darren Waller's incapable of doing that, but as of right now, it's only Mark Andrews is this year's George Kittle.
Well, do you think Mark Andrews' numbers are going to come back to earth a little bit? So far, he's gotten like the super inflated fantasy bump because Lamar Jackson's been absolutely lights out.
But he loves his tight end.
He absolutely does. But do you think that Baltimore offense comes back to earth a little bit, and maybe we see more of a balance out between he and Darren Waller's numbers? Because Darren Waller has been solid. I mean, we're looking at 14 fantasy points week 1, 12.3 in week 2, which isn't great, but averaging 7 targets. He had 8 in week 1, 7 in week 2. Both games he went above 60 yards. Like, this isn't crazy George Kittle production, but I think we're looking at a guy who is definitely a breakout tight end star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
So the only reason. Okay. So here's just like a player types here.
It's Derek Carr, isn't it? You secretly hate Derek Carr with me. You just can't admit it.
No. Look at the player types of Darren Waller and Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is a tight end that's going to get more vertical than Darren Waller will.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think Darren Waller's
it's apparent in the first 2 weeks.
I think Darren Waller's insanely athletic, who absolutely could go up and get all the vertical balls he wants to if Derek Carr could throw.
No, not like jump balls. Not like jump balls. I'm talking vertical down the field.
Oh, you're talking just straight running vertical ability.
Scheme-wise, they're going to put Mark Andrews on deeper routes than Darren Waller will.
Okay.
And that's how they ran George Kittle in San Francisco. It was successful, and Mark Andrews is having the same sort of success running similar routes. Darren Waller is in an offense where, yeah, the tight end's highlighted, and they love utilizing the tight ends. I think he's going to get a ton of looks and have a ton of production in that offense. I just think that scheme-wise, it's not in his favor for him to be the next George Kittle or the George Kittle of this year. It's Mark Andrews.
Interesting. I think they both are going to end up being this year's George Kittle. I think I like Darren Waller quite a bit more than you do, I guess. I think that scheme is built for him specifically. I think I talked about that a little bit last week, but John Gruden's offensive system oftentimes runs through the tight end. It appears to be running through the tight end pretty heavily, even though he has Josh Jacobs in town. I think we see Darren Waller's numbers at worst stay the same as they are right now, if not get a bump and actually start producing more fantasy points. And I do think that Baltimore offense regresses a little bit, just back to like our universe-wise. They've been insane through 2 weeks. So that's not me saying I dislike Lamar Jackson or I dislike the Baltimore offense. I just think there's a reality where they could come back to earth just a little bit. But I still think Mark Andrews is going to be a top 5 tight end this year.
Mark Andrews?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, yes. He's tight end 1 right now. So I think if he were to if he was going to fall off that pace, I mean, he'd have to disappear.
Right.
I mean, for a long time. So,
right.
And I don't foresee that happening at all, especially with the wide receiver core that's in Baltimore right now. I mean, Marquise Brown is their lead wide receiver. He's a rookie. And then other than that, you're going to throw to Willie Snead.
Where would you, if you were a betting man, predict that Darren Waller would finish the year in the tight end section of fantasy?
Yeah.
So we're looking at, I'm assuming you're going to go Kelce, Ertz, Kittle for the top 3, right?
No.
Really?
I think I'd go Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, Ertz.
Really? You have Mark Andrews actually making the jump over Zach Ertz already?
I think I do.
Okay.
So it's ballsy, but I think that's
no, that's fine. Happen. I don't dislike that. So given that those are your top 4, who's coming at number 5? Evan Engram?
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you put Darren Waller? Because I would put him at six. Like, I would firmly plant him as the sixth best tight end in football, which I think not a knock on him in any way.
I think he could be anywhere between 6 and 10.
Okay, wow. So you for instance, you might pick guys like Vance McDonald over him.
They're close.
Or who else are we even looking at here? Like, so far, Jimmy Graham is kind of in the stratosphere of Darren Waller. I agree, not anything there. O.J. Howard, do you think he rebounds or...
Not as long as Cameron Brate's there.
So he's out of the conversation. Other than that, we're looking at guys like Hunter Henry, who is out, obviously, but he's still up there for fantasy purposes through week two, just from stats. And David Njoku, but that's kind of it. Like,
what about Austin Hooper?
Austin Hooper is a name that is interesting to me, but I wouldn't put he and Darren Waller in the same category fantasy-wise. Like, I would have Hooper a couple spots below.
Like, outside the top 12?
No, I would say Hooper's still a top 10 pick just because there's such a huge drop-off from, like, 6 through 10. I think there's a lot of room for a lot of guys to squeak their way through there.
Huh.
Okay. But I would confidently put Darren Waller in the top 6.
What about Jack Doyle?
I hate everything about Jack Doyle.
Well, I mean,
I can't help it. It's
he
like,
has
it's
baby
a,
hands.
It's a personal problem for me. Like, Jack Doyle could be incredible, and I would still hate Jack Doyle. So,
what about TJ Hockenson?
TJ Hockenson is so tough for me because... Personally speaking, I want TJ Hockenson to be the next Rob Gronkowski. Like, I like the kid a lot. His physical attributes as well as what we've seen on the field just in week one. Week two, he kind of disappeared. But I think there's a ton of potential there. I think he is going to eventually be the next big breakout tight end. But for 2019, I just need to see it before I'm ready to put him above a guy like Darren Waller. So, yeah, I don't know. I have Darren Waller rounding out that top six of those guys that we've talked about thus far, and I don't think there's a whole lot of guys that are knocking on the door to move him to the side out of that six spot.
You know, before the Drew Brees news, there might be one other guy that we didn't mention. That's Jared Cook.
Jared Cook is still interesting, I think.
But I think he takes a hit with Drew Brees being out. Not that Teddy Bridgewater's not a fine backup. He's probably now the best backup in football.
I would agree with that.
But he's he takes a hit because he doesn't have Drew Brees throwing the ball anymore. So that might be another name. Might be interesting. Jordan, let me ask you one, though. Little news or noise.
Okay.
Cap. Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, sir.
Is he going to start at quarterback for an NFL team this year?
I firmly believe that this is the year we see Colin Kaepernick return to the NFL.
Wow.
I firmly believe this. I think it's really going to happen. I think 3 years removed now, we are finally going to see Colin Kaepernick return and start for an NFL football team. Ugh. We've got the Panthers, the Saints, the Jets, and the Steelers that all had injuries to their quarterback position that could realistically now have interest in Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
The Colts went out. There have been multiple teams that have already sidestepped him that also needed quarterbacks, right? Like, the Colts signed Brian Hoyer after Andrew Luck went down, not to mention they've got the beef brisket tossing the ball for them now. Mm-hmm. The Eagles went and got Josh McCown. They, like, pulled him out of retirement. They're like, please, dear God, come play football for us. And then the Jaguars just traded for Josh Dobbs after Nick Foles went down. So there's been a bunch of teams that have already kind of sidestepped the possibility, but there are still so many teams that are in need of a quarterback. And I'm in the camp that believes Colin Kaepernick could walk into the NFL and still produce at a pretty decent clip, if not at least better than a lot of some of these backups that the other teams are scrounging together.
He's been out of the game too long for me to believe that he's going to produce at a decent clip.
I don't know, man. I've seen the videos circulating around. There have been NFL, like OBJ just went out and they filmed a video of them working out together. And Colin looks, number one, like he's in incredible shape. And number two, he looks like he's tossing the football pretty well.
Granted, everyone
his
throws
throwing
a
motion is still disgusting. But
everyone throws a football great against no defense, though.
Yeah, that's very true. But you're really trying to tell me that there are some of these teams in their quarterback situations now, like the Jets or the Steelers, that couldn't realistically and reasonably reach out to Colin Kaepernick and say, hey, listen, we will give you a 1 year random prove it deal. Please just come throw the football for 10 games.
I don't think he's going to come back and start.
Okay.
Here's why I don't like who are the two teams we were just talking about? Steelers and the Jets. Here's why I don't like Steelers. They spent a second-round draft pick on Mason Rudolph for a reason.
Okay.
Looked really good. I think they do like the kid. I think this is going to be his time to shine with Big Ben being out.
I can agree with you on that. That's not the team that I would say is probably going to go take a look at Colin.
No, the team I was thinking of was the Jets.
100%. Makes a lot of
Darnold's
sense.
Not out a terribly long time.
He's not.
So if he comes back, plays.
Or he could be. I don't know.
This, I mean, like, yes, but I'd rather
type
have.
Of thing where you might be gone for a month and you might be gone for who knows how long. Like,
even though he's been out, he hasn't played a football game in what, 3 years, 4 years?
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
2016.
Okay, so 3 years?
Yes.
I'd still rather have him over Nick Falk.
Yeah, me too.
But when he comes back, he's not a starting player anymore.
Definitely
it's Sam Darnold. So.
Definitely not. And that's not the type of deal that I'm saying Colin Kaepernick is going to get. I fully believe, and I really do think it will be the Jets. The Jets will go, hey, Colin, listen, we will pay you $4 and a Big Mac to come in. Please throw the ball for us for 3-4 games, hopefully, and then we'll get Sam Darnold back. And I think he'll be totally fine. Could you imagine Colin Kaepernick coming in the Jets and having Le'Veon behind him?
Read option, dude.
That's not a bad situation for the Jets. All of a sudden, you have this new aspect. Not new, I guess. Sam Darnold can run the ball sort of a little bit, but...
Nah, not really, though.
Dude, that would be so fun to watch. And did you see how many times Le'Veon touched the bell? Well, touched the ball at the end of that game on Monday night?
Yeah.
Literally every single play. Every play, they were like, I don't know what to do, Le'Veon. I guess we're just going
to
give you the ball every
Le'Veon.
Single play. We'll see what happens. I think it's completely reasonable to believe that the Jets might reach out to Colin Kaepernick. And there was news today on Twitter that his agent is reaching out to all these teams. And so who knows? The story is circulating around again, just like it has for each of the last 3 years. I think there is more of a reason to believe it this year than there has been any year prior that Colin Kaepernick has sat out.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a news for me. Last one, Mitch.
Okay.
Is Jalen Ramsey going to be a Patriot?
Noise! Noise! Just noise.
Dear God, please let it be noise. I don't know if I can handle the Patriots scooping up another elite talent.
Heck no. No. I would literally stop. I wouldn't stop watching football.
No, you wouldn't. Get out of here.
I don't know what I'd do.
You would try.
I think I'd be lost for a few days.
You and
days.
I would probably do the same thing.
I would wander around right now.
I would make myself a warm bubble bath. I would pour myself a glass of wine. I'd light some candles. I would lock myself in the bathroom so my wife couldn't judge me. And I would sit there and I would cry for a little bit. And then I would come out a better man, prepared to face this cruel new world where the Patriots are just our overlords just once again.
Music on low. Everybody hurts.
Yes. No, 100%. I'm just watching videos of Sarah McLachlan in like homeless puppies in the background.
Just arms of an angel.
I'm so prepared for this scenario to play out. It's not even funny. I really think there could be a possibility, even though I don't actually think there could be a possibility. I don't know what to believe at this point.
I have a serious problem, though, with him requesting a trade.
Jalen Ramsey requesting a trade you don't like.
I have a serious problem with it.
Explain yourself to me.
It's a problem that I have with the NBA, and we're seeing it in the NFL now, and this has happened a couple times. Guys now, these big name guys are requesting trades when they're on teams that aren't winning. And
so what?
What do you mean so what?
No, I really mean it. So what?
That's
so
how
listen,
super
I'm,
teams
I'm,
get built.
I am more of an NBA fan than you are. I come from a fandom where this is the normal in the NBA. Teams make super teams all the time now. It's incredibly common for a player to go, F you guys. I'm out of here. I'm going to go play for the Lakers. It's not normal in the NFL. I agree with you. I think the NFL is moving to a place where this is becoming the new normal. And I'm not upset by it.
I hate it.
Okay.
Absolutely hate it.
Why? Seriously, though. Like, what is the end of the world that Jalen Ramsey goes, I don't want to play for Jacksonville anymore. I've played here for X amount of years and we can't win a freaking football game. Get me somewhere else. Like, I get the personal aspect of it feels bad for a player to pull the diva card and be like, I want out. I don't want to play for
that's
this
exact,
team anymore.
Well,
I'm going to
exactly
take my ball and go
is.
Home.
That's exactly what it is. It's the diva thing.
Right.
It's the diva thing. We haven't had the diva thing. And now we're seeing in the NFL. And that's why the NBA, to me, honestly, is more popular than it should be, is because there's too many divas. There's too many divas. It's more like watching a soap opera than anything else. And it bothers me. I just want to watch football. I don't want to watch a soap opera. I just want to watch football. And why don't you just go out and play hard? You're already getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport that anyone would play for free. And you're requesting a trade because I don't win enough.
That's very true. Jacksonville, if you're listening, I will gladly come in. You can pay me $4 and a Big Mac and I will take Jalen Ramsey's spot. I'm just tossing that in there right now.
Dumb, dude. It's just dumb. And it really makes me mad.
I hear you. And I think you would be in the majority of general fandom who that rubs them the wrong way. I'm not bothered by it. I'm fine with guys wanting out and trying to go get someplace they can win. I'll tell you what I'm not going to be okay with it is when the Patriots weasel their way out of here and they go, "Hey, Jalen, you want to win? Come home, baby."
I don't care where he goes. He left town for the wrong reason. It because he threw a fit and he's crying about it. He's throwing a fit and he's crying about it. That's the only reason he'd be leaving town. So,
would he win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville?
Would he win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville?
Would they make a legitimate push to be a playoff contender,
not in 2019,
or a Super Bowl contender in Jalen Ramsey's stay in Jacksonville?
Well, I mean, certainly not in 2019. No, I don't think anyone thought that Nick Foles was going to make another Super Bowl run.
No,
but they're not that many pieces away.
I don't think this Jacksonville team is all that close to making a Super Bowl.
They're not that many pieces away.
I'll tell you what rubs me the wrong way more than the diva card, Mitch, is elite talent being wasted by a team. That bothers me quite a bit. And this is something we see across all types of sports is these tanking teams get all these incredible players and then they squander them and they retire and they didn't ever accomplish anything because they played for terrible teams that just stayed terrible. And that's really what I think was going to happen to Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. I'm totally fine with this. Go somewhere where you can win some football games.
See, but they haven't been a bad team ever since he's been there.
They haven't been great.
They were an AFC championship team.
Yeah, that's fine.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
They had a down year last year. They have one down year. And two not so great games, and he wants to throw a fit and request a trade.
They were a playoff team that didn't go anywhere with Blake Bortles as their quarterback. I'm not ready to
they
put them
up. They went to the AFC Championship game. What are you talking about?
I'm just not if you're going to put them up against the other teams that also
and almost
the playoffs
won. They almost won that game too. They were almost a Super Bowl team with Blake Bortles. Don't tell me they didn't go anywhere.
I don't know, man. Jalen Ramsey, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. I get why it would bother you. Again, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think we just have different approaches when it comes to players just kind of staying the course for a team.
Okay. Last word. He has a right to be frustrated. I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to be frustrated. Everyone does. But just to outright request a trade and give up on everyone else you've been trying to do this with for the last 3 years seems real childish and real divas.
How do you feel about all the Miami Dolphin players then that are trying to get out of town right now? Because we're seeing the same exact situation in Miami. Granted, it's not the same level of talent as Jalen Ramsey.
I think Miami should just pack up shop and move, though. I mean,
yeah, well, that's a separate issue. But, does the same rule apply then when you're looking at these players who went into the front office and are like, hey, we don't want to play for a tanking football team?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm so okay with it.
The reason I have to say that is because I can't hold a double standard.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, deep down, do I have a problem with people with certain Miami guys coming in and going, "Hey, I want to trade because I don't want to be part of a tanking team"? Not really. I don't really have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Minka Fitzpatrick doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the guys that have been there through the 4 years of mediocrity with that team.
So your issue Lower with the Rams is purely because they made a playoff push in 2 years ago.
No, that's not it.
But what if this Jacksonville team was just they missed that playoff push and averaged what they've been averaging everything outside of that? Would you be more okay with
it? I don't think they're
in
a rebuilding stage right now, dude. I don't think they're in a rebuilding stage. No, they're not that many pieces away.
That's my issue, though, is they're not in a rebuilding stage. There's nothing happening in Jacksonville that's pushing them towards being anything better than mediocrity. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's just this seems like a Jacksonville team that's content with just kind of being stagnant with where they are, and where they are right now is not very good. It's kind of just middle of the pack-ish. So I don't know. Like, for me, it's kind of the same situation as what's happening in Miami. If you don't want to play for a team because you don't see a future either in rebuilding or making a playoff push, which I don't think is either one is a reality for Jacksonville anytime soon, sure, get out of purgatory.
I think we'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
So for clarity, we're both saying he's not going to the Patriots, though, right?
Yeah. I don't think he becomes a Patriot.
Just to circle back around to what we initially asked. Dude, I can't handle it. Yeah. My soul and my heart cannot handle it, so I hope it's not true.
You know, if there's somewhere he does go, Seattle.
That would be spicy.
Seattle.
That'd be so spicy.
I like him there.
Dude, we see the resurgence of
fill
the
super
void nasty.
Of what, fill the void that Richard Sherman left and get you another mouthy corner. Put Jalen Rand. I think he'd be a great fit in Seattle.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
But, again, I think it would be for the wrong reasons. But if he was going to go to a place, I'd want to see Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked. I don't know who the heck can even afford him at this point, but that would be a fun place for Jalen Ramsey to land. And also kind of a needed boost that I think that Seattle team needs here.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, guys, so that was our news or noise segment. That's going to transition us into our weekly stash or trash segment where we look ahead to week three. We play the Sunday main slate, so keep that in mind. We're going to talk about all our stashes and trashes for this upcoming Sunday. If you're new here, our stashes are all going to be players that fall below 11% of our total budget. DraftKings gives you $50,000 to work with, which means our stashes need to be below $5,500, and our trashes need to be above $5,500. We each have two. Mitch, I will go ahead and let you start first. Who is your first stash for week three?
So when you're talking about stashes, you're not typically talking about defenses. But I'm going to talk about a defense this week, and that is the Dallas defense, who is playing our beloved Miami Dolphins.
The sweetheart of all of our lives, Miami Dolphins.
Oh, God. Let's just, again, go through the statistics here. Total offensive yards on the year, 384 for the Miami Dolphins. 63 total rushing yards. They've run 27 rushing plays the entire year for an average of 2.3 yards a carry. They've run 108 pass plays the whole year for an average of 3.6 yards per pass play. That's almost unheard of.
A juicy matchup.
It's
for
a
Dallas.
juicy matchup. I feel like you'd be just foolish not to play the Dallas defense this week. Their value on DraftKings right now is $4,300, 7.8% of your total budget. Now, defenses are never going to be a huge chunk of your budget anyway. They're actually the most expensive defense you can go get this week.
Yep.
But it's worth every penny. Go get the Dallas DST.
I mean, listen, the people that went out there and played New England's defense last week can attest to the fact that you want to play whatever defense is playing against Miami.
And if you played Baltimore's week before that, yeah.
I mean, New England, I went out and played New England last week and they got me 33 fantasy points. So this is just kind of a free, just no-brainer. Go, if Miami's playing on Sunday, go pick whoever's playing against them.
Like, exactly. Yep.
This is the easiest no-brainer pick you're going to have all season long. I don't think the Dallas defense is all that incredible, but Miami is that bad. So
Dallas is top half, but
they're okay.
They'll be the top defense this week.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Lock them in. I agree. Dallas defense is a solid pick for week three. My first stash for week three is going to be a rookie, surprisingly, but we're looking to DK Metcalf out in Seattle, $4,700 on DraftKings or 9.4% of your total budget. I'm just going to read you some stats here, Mitch. Tell me what you think. He had 6 targets in week one, 7 targets in week two.
Average.
Fine, right? Totally fine. Whatever. Yeah. Not great, but that was the second most targets on the team both weeks. Okay?
Okay.
Tyler Lockett sucked him up both weeks. DK Metcalf rolled in at second. He scored a touchdown on Sunday when it mattered. He had the game-winning touchdown last week, which seems like kind of a whatever throwaway thing, but think about it. When the game's on the line, Russell Wilson threw the ball to DK Metcalf. He threw it to his big guy. He had confidence in DK, threw him the ball. He got the touchdown for the win. They're playing New Orleans this coming week. This should be a game where points are put on the board, even with Drew Brees being out. I think New Orleans and Seattle are still going to put up points on each other. And I think Metcalf should have enough production to keep the fantasy points rolling as to what we've seen so far. So I would project another 6-7 targets probably. He's probably going to get around the 80-yard mark somewhere in there, and who knows, he might suck up a touchdown. So for $4,700, yeah, sure, I'll take the flyer on DK because he's one of the better producers out of that lower half price tier when it comes to the wide receiver position for week three.
Yeah, no, I really like that play. Solid play. So would you take DK over Lockett?
Uh, I don't know if I would take him over Lockett. I think they're kind of a coin flip at this point as to who's going to catch the touchdown or who you really want to play given week to week. I think both are totally fine and solid choices. When it comes to the price point, though, I'd rather have DK over Lockett, if that answers your question at all.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Definitely does.
So who you got for your second stash?
My second stash is going to be a guy who's been running angry, and that's Mr. Carlos Hyde of the Houston Texans. You can get him right now on DraftKings for $4,500. That's 8.2% of your total budget. Let me just read you his week one stat line against the Saints. 10 for 83, 8.3 yards a carry.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. How about when your workload gets doubled the next week and you still are over 4.5 yards a carry?
Yeah, that seems better.
Yeah, that is better. That was against still, in my opinion, a very good Jacksonville Jaguars defense. He's got the Chargers this week, another good defense. But when you see the workload doubled from one week to the next, and seeming there seems to be a higher reliance is not a word. Reliance? Is that the word?
Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
A higher reliance on the run game in Houston. Look for that. This sentence is a wreck. This sentence is a wreck. He's a good play against the Chargers. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Go pay for him.
Words
are hard. Carlos Hyde, good. Go pay.
Yeah, go pay. Eat snow cone after game.
I like it. My next guy is going to be a guy that I feel kind of gross about. I'm going to be totally honest with you, but the game script looks like a good situation, and I think he's ready for a bounce back, and that is Devonta Freeman. $4,900 on DraftKings, 9.8% of your total budget. And I know what you're going to say. He's been disgusting thus far through 2 weeks for fantasy purposes. Mm-hmm. 5 fantasy points in week one, 9.4 in week two. Neither of those are what you're looking for. It looks even worse if you actually watched the games. The dude has not looked like an NFL caliber running back.
No.
When the ball's been handed off to him, he has almost done absolutely nothing. He averaged 2.4 yards per carry in week one and 2 yards per carry in week two.
Eesh.
Not good.
Yeesh.
He caught the ball 3 times in both games. He had 4 targets in both games, so that's a little bit of a bump. But he's playing a Colts team that has allowed 100-plus rushing yards in 2 straight weeks. So this is an easily exploitable run defense. I could see a game script where Devonta Freeman has a big bounce back game here against a team that has a rough rushing D. I think he catches a few balls here. And also, if you're keeping up with how the Falcons play against the AFC, you know that they play very poorly against other AFC teams. I think they're like 1-9 or something in their last 10 games against AFC teams.
Sheesh!
That doesn't make you feel good going into a Colts game either. But I would say don't let that scare you off, Freeman. I think he's going to have a big bounce back this week. The game script is too good for him not to produce. And if he doesn't produce, I might be off Freeman for the rest of my life.
Yeah, this Colts defense really has been not very good against the run.
It's not
so
great.
I like the play. I like it a lot. And the bounce, he's a talented enough running back that the bounce back's coming. So
we've seen it too many times for Devonta Freeman just to be washed all of a sudden. So I really do think the bounce back is coming. This is the game script where if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So
right.
I think his $4,900 price point is fair, and I'm willing to pay it going into week three.
Right. Okay.
So those were our week three stashes. Now we got to get to the sad part of the podcast and go our week three trashes. Mitch, you want to go ahead and talk about your first of your two trashes for week three?
Yeah, I do. I'm a little scared.
Okay.
I'm a little scared to read my names because I think it might make me the most hated host on this pod. I'm going to start off by saying this guy has the most talented arm in the NFL.
I hate what you're about to say.
I think he's really good.
I hate your dumb face. I'm just going to say this out of the gate.
I'm going to trash Pat Mahomes against Baltimore.
Sir, you must have cojones made of absolute steel. Do you know that?
I've got the grapefruits, my friend. I've got the peaches.
Explain yourself.
To get this done. So, look, okay. I just want to read off some statistics for you. 5 for 21. What do you think that fraction represents?
5 for 21?
Yeah.
Is it his rushing stats?
No, that is the third down conversions against the Baltimore defense this year.
Oh, that's not great.
Go ahead. What?
Let me ask you this. Could that number be kind of skewed by the fact that the Chiefs are never in third down situations?
No, 5 for 21 is how many third down, 5 third down conversions is all the Ravens have given up.
Oh, that's all the Ravens have given up. I was like, that can't be a real number for Patrick Mahomes' third down conversion rate. Okay, no, I gotcha. No. I'm on the same page now.
Okay, you there with me?
Yeah, right. We're good. Keep going.
Okay, how about 1.8? That's how many yards per carry the Ravens' defense is giving up.
That's pretty stingy.
5.4, that's how many yards per pass play the Ravens' defense is giving up. Now, okay. If you totally take away the run game, which is completely possible, and Pat Mahomes is forced to throw the ball, you know what's coming every play. And already against a very good pass defense like Baltimore, I think this might be a week where you just want to reconsider before you play Pat Mahomes.
Okay.
And spend up the money because he's $7,600, 13.8% of your budget. I think you can go get a guy that there's a safer play than Pat Mahomes against Baltimore.
Interesting. So do you think his opponents in week 1 and 2 weren't acutely aware of the fact that Kansas City was just going to throw the ball 1,000 times a game?
I think they were aware of that.
So given that they were coming in aware and Patrick Mahomes still shredded them both, is there a possibility where Baltimore goes, they're going to throw the ball 1,000 times a game, and then they can't do a freaking thing to stop Patrick Mahomes throwing sidearm balls 50 yards?
Well, look, who were their opponents? Who did Kansas City play? Oakland.
Yep.
And?
Jacksonville. Okay. Jacksonville, you've already said, was a good defense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oakland has been a much improved defense. I've been quite impressed by Oakland's defense thus far. Those are two good defenses.
Sure.
Defenses that I might put on par, if not better, than Baltimore.
By the way, happy birthday, Pat Mahomes. Today's your birthday.
There you go.
I just saw that.
Happy birthday, my dude.
Happy birthday,
You don't listen to this podcast, but happy birthday.
Now I feel bad.
Is he like 12? How old is he?
He is 24 today.
Goodness. Little baby boy.
Little baby Patty. Yeah. I wrote his name down. I got to stick with it.
So is this where I get to take my little mini victory lap on calling Mecole Hardman last week? Is this where I get to do it?
Sure.
Can I just slot it in here?
Take your lap.
I trashed Sammy Watkins last week. I said Mecole Hardman was going to have the breakout week. It wasn't incredible. It wasn't a huge breakout week, but Sammy Watkins didn't catch a touchdown and Mecole Hardman did. So this is my mini victory lap. I'm audibly making it known right now. I'm going to take a quick lap around the couch and then I will sit down and continue the podcast.
Go ahead.
And we're back. There was my victory lap. Okay.
I'll tell you what. I get to take one of those if Pat Mahomes underperforms.
That's fine. I will wholeheartedly agree
I don't. But I don't want a victory lap. I want to do the DX. Remember DX from like.
Yes. Throwing the X over your crotch aggressively.
Yeah. I want to do those.
Okay. Cool. I will gladly take one of those from you from afar. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. It be known. It's on the pod. It's recorded. Mitch gets to DX me. So he says, if Pat Mahomes is not
two words for you.
How many fantasy points are we setting as Patrick Mahomes' line here? Points are enough for you to be wrong about this?
Okay, well, let's look at what he averages. I mean,
all right, well, do a quick little search here.
He averages 33.
Okay, so give me a fair number.
Under 21?
21 points 20. Is the line you're going to give me? So if he scores above 21 points, you don't get to DX.
Oh, no. Never mind.
25. That seems generous. Okay, I'll take 25. 25 seems fair. I think Patrick Mahomes scores 25 easily.
Okay.
I think he's going to just absolutely crush that. But who knows? You get to take a victory lap if you're right on this one. I was bold last week. You get to be bold this week, my friend. It's the perks of having a podcast.
So if I'm wrong, what happens?
I'm just going to take another victory lap around the couch.
Okay.
I felt good.
Sounds good.
I appreciated doing that.
Okay.
All right, my first trash for week 3 is going to be a wide receiver by the name of Mike Evans. Oh, what once was. $6,600 on DraftKings or 13.2% of your total budget. He has 14 fantasy points over the first 2 weeks, Mitch. That's not good.
No, not
that's not what you want out of a guy that you're paying big bucks for at the wide receiver position. He's being out-targeted and outperformed by Chris Godwin. There was like a firestorm on Twitter after week two about how Chris Godwin is the Bucs' new wide receiver one and everybody's off Mike Evans. And I kind of get it, but my hatred for him is less about Chris Godwin's ascension and more about the fact that Jameis Winston is just bad at football. I'm fully in this camp now. I'm prepared to say it. I'm not on Jameis Winston anymore. He's bad at football. And I don't think even a Giants defense that has looked porous and not very good can save this trash fire that's happening at quarterback in the Tampa football organization. I don't like O.J. Howard. I don't like Mike Evans. I don't really like any of the offensive weapons they have there in Tampa Bay until they get this Jameis Winston situation figured out. He can't throw consistent balls in the NFL in a way that make the guys around him any sort of fantasy relevant. So Mike Evans, I'm totally off for week three. I might be off for the extended future. There's no way I'm paying $6,600 for him in week three, and I would advise you guys, if you're listening to this pod, to do the same.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I'm more in the camp of the Chris Godwin ascension.
I like Chris Godwin a lot. I'm not selling that. I'm just saying my feelings are more so coming from Jameis Winston being terrible than Chris Godwin really good. You know what I mean?
Chris Godwin makes Jameis Winston better. So does Mike Evans, but
I mean, somebody's got to catch the football. Like, Jameis Winston is throwing some balls that aren't going to the other team. Some. And somebody has to catch them, and it just so happens to be Chris Godwin so far. I'm just not going to bet my money on a guy happening to maybe catch those footballs that go to this right team.
Right.
So.
Nope, I gotcha.
Mike Evans is doo-doo for week three.
He is doo-doo. Okay, so my last trash is going to be Tyler Boyd. Playing Buffalo this week. I don't know why, but year in and year out, I just like Buffalo's defense. Like, even when it's like even when it's middle of the road, I like Buffalo's defense.
Okay, that's fine.
It's almost a top 10 defense so far through the first 2 weeks. It's actually 11th.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's fine. Played fairly well. But you look at Tyler Boyd's first 2 weeks of the season, 8 for 60 and 3 touchdowns against the Seahawks. He was the entire offensive output for the Cincinnati Bengals that week because they lost 21-20. You look at him last week against the 49ers, 10 for 122. Another good, solid week. No score that week. But for spending $6,500 and 11.8% of your total budget on a guy that's going to play a defense that's better than San Francisco was, I don't know if I'd totally buy into that. I don't like Andy Dalton all that much. He's going to have some weeks coming up here pretty soon. He's looked fairly decent the first 2 weeks, but he's going to have those weeks that he has every week that he has every year where he starts struggling and he's on like a 3 or 4 game stretch where he doesn't play good football. And I think against a borderline top 10 defense of Buffalo, I think you might see that happen.
What did you say the price point was on Tyler Boyd?
$6,500.
Yeah, okay. So I think Tyler Boyd is okay. Like, I agree with you. I don't want him, but it's more so because you could go get the player that I think you actually want in the Bengals offense for about $2,000 cheaper.
And that is?
John Ross.
Yeah.
Like that, he's actually like $1,000 and some change cheaper this week, but that dude has been absolutely electric through 2 weeks.
Right.
Like crazy dream fantasy production. And I think that continues until we see AJ Green eventually come back. And that might continue once we see AJ Green come back. I don't know. But I agree with you. Tyler Boyd is way overpriced for what that offense has looked like thus far. And it's looked like an offense that wants to get John Ross the ball lots. And
yeah.
Deep.
Definitely.
And yeah. So often. I agree with you on that pick. My last trash for week three is going to be the legitimate love of my life. The man who I would go get a beer with any day of the week if he asked me to, which is never going to happen, but maybe one day. It's Baker Mayfield. $6,000 on DraftKings, 12% of your total budget. I'm not kidding, Baker. If you ever want to go grab a beer, just let me know. I will be there. I will fly to Cleveland. I will fly to Cleveland. I will buy you your beers. Invite me. I'll come.
I would stone cold so many beers that dude.
Oh, dude. He's dreamy. But he is not dreamy for week three. Tell me if this sounds good, Mitch. 4 interceptions through 2 weeks.
No.
Hasn't posted a passer rating over 84 so far.
Not good.
Not great. Matter of fact, he posted like a low 60% passer rating in week 1 and week 2 he was like 83 and some change. In week 2 he did not look great.
No.
I think Monday night was a little bit of a mirage fantasy-wise just because he ended the game with a stat line that looked okay, but if you watch that game, he didn't look particularly great. He is looking really rough around the edges when he's pressured, and he looks like he's being pressured quite a bit more than the Browns want him to be. They're playing a Rams team in week 3. They're absolutely going to pressure him in the pocket, so he's going to have to get out of the pocket and make some rash decisions. I would anticipate a couple more interceptions coming the Rams' way in week 3.
I mean, so back to the pressure Baker Mayfield, because I think he hasn't looked good, not because he's getting pressured too often. It's because he's holding on to the football too long.
That could be possible.
I mean, it's like, seriously, watching that game last night, I was like, God, he's holding on to the ball forever. So that whole drive, when he dropped back, I sat down and counted how many seconds it took him to get the ball out. I was in the 3-second range most of the time, if not the 4-second range, before he either got hit or just threw it away.
Which is crazy, considering you have two of the fastest and most athletic dudes at the wide receiver position in Cleveland.
I mean, he's missing wide open guys. He
overthrew Odell Beckham Jr. on a wide open ball last night by about 20 feet.
Exactly. He's missing wide open guys. He's overthrowing guys. He just doesn't look quite comfortable yet. And I really like him. But I think right now, because the sample size of good performances from him are so small, that you have to sell on him until you start to see this start to get better.
Or until the DraftKings price kind of comes down to where his production has been. $6,000 is too much to pay for a dude like Baker Mayfield, given what we've seen so far.
Sure.
I think it's going to get better. I don't think this Browns team stays kind of as mediocre as they've been. But I'm not going to bet on that resurgence from Baker Mayfield this week for $6,000.
Right.
So those were our week 3 trashes. I will go through them one more time. Our stashes for week 3 were DK Metcalf and Devonta Freeman. Mitch's were Dallas defense and Carlos Hyde. Our trashes were Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield. And Mitch's were Patrick Mahomes. And remind me who your second one was, Mo?
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. There it is. So those were our week 3 stashes or trashes. That means we only got one more thing to do today in the pod, and that is talk about our head-to-head picks against one another. Again, if you are new here, we end every podcast with our picks. Mitch and I play a head-to-head match every single week, and the loser gets a cup of water dumped on them in creative ways on Twitter. So again, go follow us, Double Up DFS, if you would like to see those videos. But Mitch, I'll go ahead and let you start with your lineup for week 3. Who are you rolling out, big boy?
Well, I am not trying to go 0-3 here to start off the year. So I have to try to get something done. So I am going to, first of all, used every penny, almost every penny of my salary.
Same.
Got $100 left.
I have literal zero.
Okay. All right. But I'm going to follow, I think it's time to follow the leader a little bit. I'm going to go with Josh Allen. $5,900, yeah, playing Cincinnati.
Yeah, baby.
Good matchup. I like that start. He looked great through the first 2 weeks. Marlon Mack against Atlanta. Pretty porous front 7. I like the Marlon Mack play this week. Got to go with my stash, Carlos Hyde, against the Chargers. $4,500 on DraftKings. Here's my big spend of the week, $7,500. Amari Cooper against Miami. Who's going to cover him? Not Minka Fitzpatrick.
I think it's going to be a roll of toilet paper with like a little bit left on the roll. You know what I mean? Like the last little bit that you can't get off when you're towards the end of the roll. That's who's going to guard him.
Yeah.
It's like their only option.
That's it. No one's going to cover him. So he should have a heyday. I'm also going to go Marquise Brown against the Kansas City Chiefs. You can get him $5,900 on DraftKings. Great first 2 weeks against a pretty bad secondary. So I like that play. I'm going with your stack of the first 2 weeks. I'm going with John Brown against Cincinnati, stacking him with Josh Allen. You know I'm not shying away from the mailman. I'm going with Mark Andrews again at tight end. Still a good value at $4,600. Quite a bump from last week, but still a great value to go get. My flex, I got to spend a little bit on my flex at $5,900. I'm going Chris Carson against New Orleans.
Nice.
Really like that play. Chris Carson's looked like a true number one back, true workhorse back through the first couple weeks. And then the lock chalk play of the week, the Dallas Cowboys defense against Miami.
Nice. I like it. I like it. I will say we have quite a few overlaps in our lineup this week.
Oh, okay.
I, too, am keeping the Josh Allen, John Brown stack rolling. They've looked incredible through 2 weeks. I'm going to keep rolling them out there until either DraftKings jumps up their prices like they should be doing, or they stop producing, which I don't think is going to happen very often this season. So Josh Allen, John Brown is the stack that I'm rolling out for the third week in a row. Running back is where I spent up this week. Per usual, I usually like to spend up at the running back position, and I went and got Ezekiel Elliott because he's playing the Miami Dolphins, and Lord knows those Miami Dolphins are not going to be able to stop him.
That's a good one. I like that a lot.
I don't even want to guess how many touchdowns he's going to rush for. Hopefully a lot, so that way Amari Cooper doesn't get him.
Oh. Boo.
Other running back. I'm going with my stash of the week, which is going to be Devonta Freeman against the Colts. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. It feels a little gross. I'm hoping that the game script that I talked about earlier is true and Devonta Freeman has the breakout game. Wide receiver is the other spot that I spent up a little bit. I'm going to play Adam Thielen against that Oakland's defense. He's not crazy expensive. He's in the $6,700 range, which is still probably a tier two pricing for a wide receiver, but I like Thielen's matchup in Oakland quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I already said I'm going John Brown at wide receiver. My third wide receiver spot, I'm going with John Ross.
Okay.
Out of Cincinnati. We talked about him just a little bit earlier. John Ross has a criminally low price tag still. I mean, he's $5,100 still. For the production he's put up through 2 weeks, sure, I'm going to ride that out. No problem. And they're playing that Buffalo, which their secondary is okay. It's fine. But
yeah.
If you're trying to tell me John Ross isn't going to break out a long one again in week three, I would maybe laugh at you. Possibly. You might be right. I don't know. I'm going to play him.
Okay.
Tight end. I'm going Darren Waller.
Okay.
Oakland against Minnesota again. Darren Waller's still really cheap. I mean, the production he's put up has been solid and consistent, and that's kind of what I'm looking for at the tight end position. He's only $4,100 still. Sure, roll him out there. My flex, I did something I hate doing. I hate playing tight ends at the flex position.
Mm.
But if you're trying to convince me that I am not going to play the mailman for $4,600 when I have $4,600 sitting around, I'm going to go play the mailman.
Heck yeah.
I want my packages and my fantasy points delivered on time. Thank you very much.
He will so do
Mark
it
Andrews
every time.
Is in my flex.
Every time.
Which makes me feel a little bit better.
He has a prime option,
too. So
you know
that way, if he sucks, we both don't get those fantasy points. So that makes me feel a little bit better about playing him in the flex. But anyway.
He has a prime option. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, if you just do Mark Andrews Prime, he delivers it to you way faster.
No kidding. How fast are we talking? Tell me more.
We're talking like blazing fast.
Wow. Mark Andrews. I fall more and more in love with him as the days go on.
So good.
The defense, I'm playing the same defense you are, same defense everybody's going to play in week three, that Dallas defense against Miami. I think this Dallas-Miami game is going to be a game that a lot of people are targeting come week three. It's just too juicy of a matchup on both ends when it comes to Dallas, be it their defense as well as their offense. So that's where I'm going. Again, a lot of guys we're playing that are in similar situations as far as our DraftKings lineup go in week three.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there's just so many juicy matchups this week.
I think a lot of it is we're riding out week one and two kind of victory laps a little bit so far. Like I'm not changing off Josh Allen, John Brown. We've played the mailman, I think, every single week. We're going to target Miami every single week regardless. So a lot of it is just kind of consistency thus far. And so I think we're going to keep rolling it out until it's not working. But we'll see, Mitch. I wish you luck, buddy. As much as I want to go 3-0, I could get wet every once in a while, you know?
Time to get off the schneid for me. I need to get off the schneid.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So that's all we have for you this week. That was our head-to-head picks. Thanks for checking in for week three of the pod. Keep checking in. We'll have a new podcast every week going forward. You can go follow us on Twitter at DoubleUpDFS if you want to see the content we have going over there. Make sure to go wherever you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Give us a like. Give us a review. And subscribe. We would love you forever for it. Mitch, you got anything before we close out?
I am making a prediction that the Dallas-Miami game will either A, be the most viewed game on TV this week, or the least viewed. Nothing in between.
There's no way they're going to be middle of the road.
It's going to be like a car crash. Like, you're either going to turn away or you're going to want to watch it because you can't take your eyes off of it. So
I will be in that camp. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate you. We love you. We'll be back next week with another episode of the pod. See you later.
Deuces, auf Wiedersehen. See ya.